J-U-D-A-C-Y.
Type that into your app search, then download Jones and Keefe
on W-E-E-I.
A couple of weeks ago, I would have said they have to get a number two starter. Not that such an animal is available, but I would have thought, yeah, that's what they needed right behind Crochet. But since Bayo and Giolito have come on, I don't know that you need a number two now. You can get the best available in the lower tier. And one guy I mentioned was Charlie Morton. And Charlie Morton is a guy who has ties with Alex Cora going back to the 2017 Astros. He also, after that horrible start, and he was kind of the poster child for the Orioles' bad beginning, 3.05 ERA in his last 59 innings. So he's kind of become Charlie Morton again. And the price for him wouldn't be the price as it would be for, I don't know, Merrill Kelly or somebody like that. So maybe that's one option, and it's just an option.
Ken Rosenthal on foul territory.
Say it ain't so.
Charlie Morton doing Charlie Morton things.
I mean,
he could be vintage Charlie Morton.
Keith, keep him. Keith, I'm as pro Breslow as they come.
Yeah, you sure are. Maybe the most pro Breslow.
Bres pro.
Pro low.
Damn it. We're all around it.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We'll
don't
work
worry.
On that. We got time before the trade deadline to work on that.
We had 10 days.
But if his big return to the trade deadline is effing Charlie Morton.
Go get James Paxton. What's he doing?
I mean, it might as well be. No joke. It might as well be James Paxton.
He's older. Morton's older.
Okay, you told me this.
He's older than both of us.
Charlie
and we're
Morton,
old.
Charlie Morton is older than you
Dirt.
And I.
Yes. He was born in 1983.
Yeah, I don't like that.
No. So he'll be, this November, he will turn 42.
Yeah. Like, did you even play with Ninja Turtles? You're too old for that.
No, you probably missed that.
Yeah.
You even know what Anthony's dad. He legitimately could be Roman Anthony's dad.
Yeah. You even know what a slammer is, bro? It's ancient. This guy's old as dirt.
He's not doing pogs.
No, seriously. He's got no idea. Seriously.
He has a career ERA over 4, and they're like, he could be Charlie Morton.
Okay, well,
he had a couple good years. I'll give him that, but that was a while ago, and he's super old.
Two-time All-Star.
Yeah.
Third in the Cy Young in 2019. Why don't you like him, actually? This is your kind of guy. He was an All-Star like a decade ago.
Pre-COVID.
Oh, that's
pre-COVID.
What
COVID's really the cutoff for me. You got to be good post-COVID for me to really be on board.
I got you.
Yeah, he was great in 19.
Yep.
This year for the Orioles, he has a 5.58 ERA.
Okay.
So he's their Walker Buehler.
He's 5-8 with a 5.58 ERA. And,
yeah,
and
on a bad team.
Rosenthal goes, well, yeah, well, it's whatever, mid threes over 59 innings or whatever
he's
setting
said. The clock back. It's like anybody can have a few good starts.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
The year before, he had a 4.19 ERA with Atlanta. So, like, I guess you'd take that, but it's not anything to really celebrate.
To your point, what is vintage Charlie Morton
or whatever
you
put it?
It's a guy with a 4-plus ERA. So that is fake buying. If that's what they come home with.
I do not want that.
And here's what I'm afraid of. I didn't even like that name when I just heard Rosenthal mention it last week. You told me when you talked to Bradfoe last week, Bradfoe brought this name up too.
He did, because we obviously, great. Lanny was over. We're like, Joe Ryan? What about Joe Ryan? Talk about Joe Ryan. He's like, yeah, probably not happening.
Forget Joe Ryan.
He's like, you know, it's probably going to be more somebody like Charlie Morton. I was like, oh. Okay.
So now there's a pattern of people bringing up Charlie Morton. I don't like.
No.
Did Bradfoe give you the same logic that, and this is out of curiosity because I didn't hear it, no offense.
What?
What?
You could take the Odyssey app with you anywhere.
I did.
The hell?
I took it with me.
Okay.
I just, I missed this specific.
I missed
this specific chunk of time.
The audience is always changing.
Did he also mention the connection to Alex Cora? Cora and Morton from their Houston days. Did he also bring that up?
I don't recall.
Okay, because if we're starting to hear like the same name and the same anecdotes about the same player, then that's clearly coming from the team, and it's like, get ready for Charlie Morton.
Morton's one of those guys to me where, and we've mentioned this even in football when it comes to certain like additions to like the receiver room or something. If it's Charlie Morton and Nathan Eovaldi, great.
Oh, fine.
Right? That's what I'm saying. But
Yeah.
It's like, if we're all just like bagging on Charlie Morton, but if Charlie Morton came in and you're like, hey, he's going to take over like the Richard Fitz starts, great.
Yeah.
But if you're like, he's coming in, he's going to bump Bayo and Giolito down. I'm like, no, he's not. So if you went out and get a real starter, like legitimate starter, and him.
He's their version of Walker Buehler. He's the Orioles' Walker Buehler.
Right. Let's get him. Let's pounce, on him. Let's get him before somebody else snatches him up.
I don't want that at all.
I don't want him.
This is a good rule of thumb entering the trade deadline.
Okay.
This is our pal Dice texting in, 617-779-7937, same as the phone number. He says, here's my rule for the trade deadline. I think it's a good rule.
Okay, let's hear it.
Maybe adopt it as a show rule.
All right.
Any player who can potentially one day be a random baseball player of the day, I don't want.
Oh, you want to shoot higher than that?
Charlie Morton could be a random baseball player while he's still playing, Dice says.
True. I mean, Steve Pierce is a random player, and he won World Series MVP.
All right, well, let's not get bogged down in all the wrong details,
Nick.
Here, Nick. We're trying to develop a show rule here.
Come on.
There are exceptions to every rule.
Morton could be the first active random player of the day. That's actually not a bad one.
Active random player
of the day. This guy broke in 2008. You're like, okay, when did he retire? He hasn't.
He's still playing. He's older than both Jones and Keefe. So, yeah, no, that's a good rule of thumb.
I like it.
Aim higher than a future random ball player of the day.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be excellent.
Good rule for Breslow. Mm-hmm. Joe Ryan's not going to be is Joe Ryan going to be a random ball player?
He'd be the Hall of Fame the way he's going.
11 Ks. Oh, man. Real nice.
He's great.
I'm still not giving up
Durant. He's excited about the trade deadline.
Yeah,
he's excited.
Guy's stoked. I'm still not giving up Durant for him, but we can get to that in just a moment.
I don't know if the Twins are giving up or taking anybody for him by the sounds of it. Unless they're just playing hardball, which I respect.
Yeah.
It's the name of the game after all. So if they're doing that, God bless them. But if they're just going to hold on to him and then just trade him in the offseason, that's kind of boring.
We're talking about the Red Sox and how much you trust them and should you trust them. They were in this exact same spot through 100 games, now 101. But they have the same record through 100 games each of the last 3 years. Those two teams fell flat on their faces. Is this team different? We were discussing all the dumbass plays the Red Sox make.
Yeah.
Yoshida came up in that discussion. Durant almost mowed him down yesterday. Two texts on Yoshida.
Okay.
Number one, they're playing Yoshida so they can show he can play the field. He subbed into left field yesterday. Roman Anthony was under the weather. And so they swap. Yoshida was supposed to be the DH.
Yeah, this might not help their cause.
Anthony went to DH. They are showcasing him, if you will, in the field so they can use him as trade bait. You think they're actually hurting the cause by doing that?
Yeah, I don't think showing him yesterday's game is going to help him much.
Okay.
No, if a team is acquiring Yoshida, they got to probably just consider him a left fielder. Or, I'm sorry, a DH.
Yeah.
And then maybe, like, in case of emergency, a left fielder.
Okay, so you're shooting that one down.
Yeah.
Do you like this theory better?
All right.
Was Durant trying to take out Yoshida?
Yes.
One less outfielder. Now you can't trade Durant.
Solved the problem.
Okay, there we go.
I'll take him right out
Durant,
for you.
Durant's taking him out.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. No, I think of all the plays, and you missed this one last week, out of all the different mishaps, the Abraham Toro running into and out
so bad.
Was the worst one. And the guy that you want to see. Like, that was a nice run that he had overall. Like, he had a couple of months there. We were like, oh, maybe he can play first base. Like, I think we're good.
Right.
A much more significant need for an upgrade, and I don't need to see him in the lineup
Look,
anymore.
I love the bull.
Sure.
Love the bull.
You were Team Toro.
I was Team Toro. Still am Team Toro.
Well.
But I don't need to see him anymore.
No.
So the guy did, he was the perfect bridge. He's the perfect bridge to a deadline acquisition. A real first baseman. Let's slot out the needs. Starting pitcher, impact pitcher, in Breslow's words, which is not Charlie Morton.
No.
It might be some of these two names from Bob Nightingale. I'll get you them in a moment. Impact pitcher, relief help, another bullpen arm, right-handed bat, first base DH type. Put those in order. What's the biggest one?
So I'm still going starting pitcher. This series did make me up how important a bat is, a right-handed stick that can play first base. Maybe it's like a Ryan O'Hearn, somebody of that ilk. That is a clear-cut second. I have relief pitching third. I think most teams, most contenders always identify that as the first thing. And I'm not saying they couldn't use an improvement, but if it's not as important as the other two. I mean, you need another starting pitcher. That's clear. And then with some of these games against good starting pitching, we've seen the offense be pretty quiet. So if they could add one more guy, I think you're cooking with gas.
Same order. But, you know, if they have another quiet series against Philly, and they might.
Tonight they probably will.
It's Wheeler. It's, why am I blanking on that? Christian Sanchez in game two?
I think so. Let me see.
And then it's Suarez, I know, in game three. I'm sorry, not Suarez. Lizardo, rather.
Yes, it's Sanchez tomorrow and Lizardo.
So you're going 1-2-3, boom, boom, boom.
They got Ohtani on Sunday.
So didn't even know that. So another quiet series or two.
Yeah.
I might move bat neck and neck with impact starter.
Kershaw Saturday.
The beauty, Keith, of getting the impact starter, and you made this case last week. Well, that bumps another guy like Fitz to the bullpen.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, okay, you now have strength in your bullpen as well. So you could make two moves, really, with one. And the Red Sox really could make moves at all these spots.
Uh-huh.
By the way, Bob Nightingale reported over the weekend the Red Sox have scouts watching D-back starters Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly.
Okay.
If Charlie Morton isn't an impact starter, do either of those two guys meet that for you? Gallen or Kelly, both with the D-backs?
Yeah, I mean, Gallen's also having a bad year, right? I mean, I like going into the year, I probably liked him a little bit more and a little bit more of an upside. Kelly, for this particular season, is having the best of the three. So if you want to say, like, all right, could he kind of keep the current year that he's having going, he has been much better than those other two guys. Those other two guys are ERAs in the five. Merrill Kelly, 3.32.
So I think Gallen to me is like the Sandy Alcantara discussion from Florida.
Yeah, like you would have wanted him, but now you're like, well, maybe a change of scenery guy.
Well, that's what I wonder. Whereas, you know, Merrill Kelly and the K's actually are higher than I thought. I thought he was a lower K's guy, so maybe I could be talked into him. But my instinct would be I'd rather have the guy who has been a higher end pitcher earlier in his career, and I try to rekindle that, whether it's Alcantara or Gallen, than someone like Kelly. But you're right, Kelly's having a much better
Kelly's
year than I realized.
Solid. I'll take Kelly.
Okay. All right. Well, we've narrowed it down for the trade deadline. 617-779-7937. You can jump in line and discuss the Red Sox, where they sit. And on top of that, have they even picked a direction? I'm still afraid that we haven't totally ruled out Jarren Duran getting subtracted off this team, even despite crashing into outfielders, nearly running into outs, still not really hitting. I want him on this team. Have the Red Sox picked a direction? We'll get to that next.
WEEI, New England Sports Original.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Yeah, it's one of the more satisfying ones, just being able to strand the runners. You know, it was in a similar situation in Washington, just wasn't able to strand them. But yeah, I feel like I did a good job of that today. You know, good defense behind me, and you know, nice to see the offense explode there at the end as well.
It's Garrett Crochet following the Red Sox 6-1 victory yesterday in Chicago. Huge start from him. Red Sox needed it. Wasn't quite a must-win, though.
Certainly
felt that way.
Oh, yeah.
As much of a must-win game as you're going to have on July 20th. He's now 11-4 with a 2.19 ERA. Seems like a solid number two Cy Young favorite in the American League. And yesterday he stopped the losing streak. You said this earlier, Keith, and it was only a two-gamer, but it felt like it could snowball with Walker Buehler pitching against Zach Wheeler tonight. That doesn't feel like a win.
No, it's bad, because if he ends up being – if he starts a game that you lose and it continues a losing streak, and then you know that you're not going to see him for a while, you're like, oh, no,
well,
this could get out of hand quick.
Especially if they lose 1-0 or something like that.
Right, right.
And then it's like the offense was dead the whole weekend and you're going in against Zach. Like, none of that would feel great. And maybe next time Crochet pitches, it's to extend a win streak.
Right.
But the guys come through pretty much every time he's taken the mound. So a big victory for him. And it felt like the Red Sox did just enough to stay in the buying category. And I do feel that way, Keith. But I'm reading ESPN this morning.
All right.
Jeff Passan has updated his top 50 trade deadline candidates.
Top 50?
Yeah, this is the same one that went Bregman 1, Duran 2
last time
we read it.
Yep.
So a couple of names have dropped off this list. For instance, Bregman's not on it anymore.
He never should have been, but go ahead.
Chapman's not on it anymore.
Good.
Duran remains on it with the same odds of being traded, 25%, which, do you think that's a healthy number or don't even worry about it? It's only 25%.
Well,
probably not going anywhere.
75% chance he doesn't get traded is another way to look at it. So I would say, I mean, it's not nothing. He's still on this list, but it seems like even for Passan, it'd be a surprise if he got dealt.
So, for instance, Eugenio Suarez, who is sitting on 35 home runs, something like
that.
He's
had an awesome season, even though he got smoked in the All-Star game. Got drilled by Shane Smith.
He's number one on the list, 90% chance of getting traded.
Wow.
And to me, that's a guy the Red Sox should be in on. He hasn't, I don't think he's played much first base in his career. We actually talked about him a few weeks ago. I don't think he's played a ton of first base. I think he's mostly a third baseman.
Yeah.
But could he get in the mix as a righty bat against DH and maybe try to learn some first? I'd be on board with
honestly,
that.
Honestly, why not? Yeah, but he's played no first base.
Ever. Okay.
He's played 1,300 games at third, 217 at short, and then he's DH some.
Okay. So is that a perfect solution? No, but that's a big right-handed bat.
Oh, yeah.
90% chance of getting traded, number one on the list. Stephen Kwan from your Guardians.
Kwan's good, but they don't need him. I mean, they're loaded with outfielders.
Guardians for now.
For now.
But your Cleveland Guardians there, Keith.
Yeah, the guards.
He's number two on the list. Duran is three. So it does make me wonder, have they fully picked a direction yet, or are they still going to do this nonsense buying, selling? And I guess I'll add the caveat, Duran for Joe Ryan, were it to happen, that's not buying and selling. I mean, that's a true baseball trade. But Are they still going to do this nonsense where they sell over here to buy over there? Or
well,
they just pick the direction?
The return's everything, because trading Jaren Duran in a vacuum doesn't tell you which direction they're going. And you could still very much be a buyer by trading Duran, because you have a logjam in the outfield. You have more than three what should be everyday starting outfielders. So it's not like you'd be peeling him away from the team and then you call up a guy from the minors or whatever, or you're just kind of a mess and your lineup has a big hole in it to replace something else or to improve another area of the team. But if you end up trading him for prospects or something insane like that, then that is a clear direction. And I think people are going to be fired up about that.
So do you rule out they still might do that? Like, I really don't rule that out. I should kind of. I should have faith in my guy,
well,
Breslow. I don't totally rule that out.
I just feel like you can't, after all these bad seasons and all these bad second halves, and you do have Alex Bregman for maybe just the rest of this season, you know, Chapman for like the rest of this season. I think even though you have a nice wave of young players on the come up, some of your best players, who knows how much longer they're going to be here. I think you need to capitalize on this team. And I also wonder if maybe there is a little bit more of a emphasis on the now because of how bad the last few years have ended. And if you're John Henry, you're like, we just saved all this money on Devers, so we don't need to do salary dumps right now. We already did a giant salary dump. If you want to add a few players, it'd still be under that number that where we started the season. I'm good with that. So there should be pressure on them to try to win and not just sell for the future.
Since you mentioned his name,
Devers/Devers
got swept this weekend.
Well,
he's hitting .208, still two home runs and 10 RBIs.
Just
since you brought that up.
I know. I just
wanted to let everybody know
where
he was residing while they're freaking out about the Red Sox dropping 2 out of 3.
Well, unfortunately, they did get swept. They got swept by the Blue Jays. Mm-hmm. You were hoping they could maybe
good
do you a favor and lose a game or beat the Blue Jays a game or two.
It's a good point. I'm honestly just rooting for them to lose every single game.
Well, they kind of are.
I don't even care who they're coming against. Yandy Diaz is a name coming up on the text line. I think Cotillo dropped that name over the weekend. I don't really get why Tampa would move him. They're only a game and a half out. They do weird things, though, where they kind of buy and sell smaller market team.
Yeah.
Though they just got sold. If that name's available, that's a perfect fit. Right-handed first baseman, guy's in the division. I think you know what he can be. That name's a perfect fit. If he's really available, great. Go get him. I would sign off on that name in a heartbeat. Wally is in Fall River. What's going on, Wally?
Yeah, what's up, guys? Everybody sort of on the edge with Craig Breslow. We really don't know. I mean, do you really trust this guy? But as far as the pitching goes, I mean, forget about Charlie Moore and let him stay in Baltimore. We want a decent pitcher, you know what I mean?
Not a million.
Maybe, I don't know what the Twins are doing with Joe Ryan. Maybe they want more than Duran. But I take a shot at Dylan Cease in San Diego, even if you had to give up Duran and some prospects. But a lot of teams are going to be making trades, too. So Breslow can be sitting on his hands waiting until the last minute, and we get table scraps.
So I agree with that.
Yeah.
Other teams around you are going to get better. It's another reason to buy and think bigger than Charlie Morton. Refresh my memory. Dylan Cease is in the Zach Gallen and Sandy Alcantara category, where he's not having a great year, but he's been a previous really high-end pitcher.
And he was good way more recently. I mean, last year, 2024, he was fourth in the Cy Young.
Yeah,
And so he's having a bad year this year, but even his bad year compared to Charlie Morton and Zach Gallen is much better. His ERA is in the fours, way more strikeouts than innings pitched. I still wouldn't do Jaren Duran.
That's what I was just going to ask you. I wouldn't either.
But prospects for Cease, although San Diego is so desperate and horny for Jaren Duran, it seems like every day there's a new story about how they want Jaren Duran. Maybe they wouldn't even make that deal with you if it wasn't involving him. But if you're like, hey, we're moving on from, you know, prospect 10 and 12 in the system or something to get Dylan Cease, I would take him as an upgrade. I don't know if he's like your automatic. He's more of like a Bayo Giolito type than he would be like certainly better than those guys.
At least the
he's
way that
every other year guy.
Oh,
that's true. He was runner
last
up inside in 22.
Fourth, runner up. He was 2022.
He's an E.
We need
even numbers
year, though.
Only though is the problem. Get him next year. Put him on the side.
Duran for Cease off season
next year.
Is Cease a rental? I should know this. Does he have term?
I thought he just signed a contract with them. No, he didn't.
He's a rental
free agent in 26.
All right, so sign him. Don't even trade for him. Just sign him.
Sign him.
He's an every other
just
year
wait.
Guy.
All right. You know you're going to get a great year one out of him.
Yep. Smart. Text line is also bringing up Evaldi. We've mentioned him before.
I would take Evaldi.
I would love Evaldi. Did he get hurt this weekend?
Oh, did he?
I think Evaldi, and I don't know how long-term that is. Like my guy, Edward Cabrera, last week we were talking about him. He's scheduled
expected
to pitch again.
Expected to avoid IL, scratch from series finale with back tightness.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Back tightness.
I mean, trust me, I'm still in on Evaldi. Maybe that lowers the acquisition cost.
True. Maybe it's sort of like Schwarber, where you got him kind of cheap. And because he wasn't ready right away, so I guess.
But that's a name I would monitor. I just want to know the health. 617-779-7937. A lot of Red Sox talk through the first hour. We got a hashtag Dork Minute for you coming up at 11:45, so stay tuned for that. And training camp right around the corner. Keith Jones and Keith going to be there.
Oh, in the house.
On Wednesday, we'll be there really for most of the next 3 weeks when the Patriots are practicing.
Sick brag, bro.
Thank you.
Not bad.
When they're practicing and it's open to the public, we're going to be down there. We'll be at Gillette. So they get started on Wednesday. Rookies have reported. Vrabel talks tomorrow. So we'll really get going in earnest when it comes to football. Let's get to the Patriots and their offseason entering training camp. Have they done enough to help out Drake May? It seems like he's getting more help than maybe we expected. We'll add to that coming up next.
Jones and Keith on WEEI.
WEEI.
WEEI.